Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. Tonight's encore presentation is from Circle Craft Studies from 2014, where Selena explored some ways of working with tarot, oracle cards, and other divination tools and methods to get guidance for future as part of the Samhain observations.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore Samhain divinations for the future. Samhain is the new year. The new year amongst ancient Celtic peoples, the spiritual new year for those connected with many Wiccan traditions, some Druidic traditions, and some other pagan paths. As with different types of New Year's, New Year is a threshold, a time to reflect upon the past, assess the present in preparation for looking into the future, and a propitious time for not only calling to mind goals for the future, but to do divination work to aid one and one's community in preparation for moving into the new year. Tonight, I'd like to share with you some approaches to divination, some methods of working with divination, specifically at the time of Samhain, and to look at divination as a means for shaping one's journey into the future. Spirit of Samhain Tide, we call to you, we honor you, we connect with you. Be with us, be in us, guide us as we explore this sacred time in which many worlds converge, that which is past, that which is present, that which is future, the world of those who have gone before, the world of those who are here and now, the worlds that are yet to be. Divine is one, divine is many, divine that is wise crone and wise horned one, we call to you and invite you to join us and the spirit of Samhain in our explorations of divination. So mote it be. Divination has woven into its mix divine, connecting with the divine, connecting with the sacred, the art of finding things out. And while our focus tonight is primarily on divinations for the future at Samhain time, inherent in divination is connecting with spiritual wisdom and spiritual guidance, and reflecting on life in a holistic way, which by its very nature involves paying attention to what's gone before and what is now in order to consider the best direction to move in times ahead. In doing solemn divinations for the future, the first thing to consider is timing. And what specifically you are seeking to find out, to learn. Some will do a divinatory practice on the night that is the main night that Samhain is celebrated. In the Northern Hemisphere, that typically is October 31st or November 1st or 2nd, sometime in late October or early November. And for those in the Southern Hemisphere, it's 6 months different. End of April, beginning of May is Samhain in the Southern Hemisphere. For simplicity's sake, we're going to focus on Northern Hemisphere, but know that wherever you are in the world, you can adapt this timing to meet that situation. So one approach is Samhain night. Some prefer to actually have Samhain night to be the exact midpoint between fall equinox and winter solstice, November 5th, 6th, 7th, depending on the year and the accounting system. Some celebrate Samhain night at the full moon closest to the end of October and beginning of November. Others at dark moon, which in 2014 is the 23rd of October, in a couple days. Another approach is to do a series of divinations at Samhain time on a series of nights rather than just one night. And another approach is to do a divination, skip a night, do another divination, skip another night, and actually have this happen over a week or more surrounding Samhain, sometimes known as Samhain tide. What is the focus of the divination? For divination of the future, is it future for oneself? Is it future for household, for spiritual group? Is it divination for community? Is it divination for the planet as a whole or beyond? After considering the date and picking out when you're going to do divination, and also considering who the divination is for, the next thing to do is to choose the method of divination. There are many types of divination, and most types of divination would lend themselves for a Samhain divination. There are a variety of divination systems. Ones that are most common to be working with at Samhain time are working with tarot, the tarot cards. Some, especially those who are on northern way paths, heathen paths, may instead prefer to do some type of rune casting. Others, especially those who have roots in Asian traditions, may choose the Yi Ching. Still others may do a different kind of card system than tarot cards. Sometimes these card systems are known as oracle cards. Indeed, there's cards that draw on runes rather than having runes on pieces of wood or ceramic or stones. And there are even cards for each of the hexagrams in the I Ching. There's certainly other divination systems, casting stones of different types and looking at their patterns, where they fall, or it may be bones or shells or some other object, some other divinatory system that involves casting. And then another form of divination is that of scrying. Here, it is allowing oneself to move into a meditative or trance state and to guide one's awareness through means of a scrying tool. Most common would be a crystal ball or some type of mirror. Often a black mirror, can be a silver mirror. Some will scry in one of the elements, looking at patterns of soil for an earth scrying, patterns in smoke of incense for an air scrying, patterns in water for a water scrying, patterns in flames, be it a candle flame, a hearth fire, or a bonfire, for fire scrying. And then there's tea leaf reading, which is looking at the positions of leaves of tea after a cup of tea has been drunk. Or it could be coffee grounds, when there's coffee grounds actually in the cup itself. So there's a variety of types of scrying methods and scrying tools. Some will take some force, such as water, and drip something on it. An old style scrying method is melted lead on water. In more recent times, it may be candle wax dripped on water and looking at the shapes that are formed. In addition to scrying and divination augury systems, there can be divination by connecting with someone who serves as the divinatory agent, like an oracular sage, someone who's a trance medium. In this case, one consults with someone who goes into a meditative or trance state and shares the reading as a result of that connection. Some people who are psychic work with that approach as well. There's divinatory writing methods and communication methods, a pendulum, being able to ask questions and to have certain patterns, a pendulum movement, a yes and no answers, or for a more sophisticated system, one that includes mapping the consciousness and looking at how much the pendulum moves, how many swings, what direction. There's also divinatory boards, probably most common is something called a Ouija board or a Ouija board. And some call it the witch board, and it's a version of that, often with a pentacle in it, and more symbols than you would find on a Ouija board. But probably out of the divinatory writing, what is most commonplace is that of automatic writing, where one moves into a meditative state, a trance state, as one writes whatever comes flowing from consciousness, going beyond journaling to a deeper state, a meditative experience. And then divination through some form of inner visionary work, typically dream incubation, prior to going to sleep, having the divinatory focus, then going into the sleep state, and another form, generally not sleeping, but also going into a deep state of consciousness, and that can be through drumming, shamanic journeying. Now, there are some that take a more lighthearted approach to divination at Samhain time. In fact, there's lore and customs and what could be called divination games. Sometimes it's a matter of assigning different meanings to nuts or beans and casting them into a fire or putting them in water and interpreting what happens as one watches the beans or the nuts and having particular meanings derived from that. Bobbing for apples is said to have originated as a form of divination. And another thing connected with Samhain time and divination is the old lore of getting insight on a future partner by carving, peeling an apple all in one fell swoop, you know, peeling, keeping the peel going and spiraling around the apple, and then taking the peel and tossing it over the shoulder and then looking to see what kind of initial appears, and that said with the right intention to indicate a possible mate for oneself if one has that as the focus. So there's a variety of different types of divination that have been done at Samhain time in the recent past and more distant past. And what I'd like to share tonight, rather than trying to cover all of these types, is some examples of ways that one can do divination at Samhain time, using a few of these methods. The first method I'd like to share with you can be done as a solitary practice, a small group practice, or a large group practice. I call this divination for the new year. This involves using a deck of tarot cards or some other form of divinatory cards. Each year at Circle Sanctuary, we have a Samhain main ritual, and as part of that ritual, everyone who is taking part, when the time comes during the ritual, has the opportunity to draw a card from one of the cauldrons containing various cards that we have available. How we do this method is making sure that there are sufficient numbers of cauldrons to accommodate the size of the group, which is usually somewhere between 150 and 200 people. And so we have multiple small black cauldrons, about 8 inches in diameter, lightweight plastic cauldrons, where in preparation for this, we have put cards face down. Each year, we select a deck that will be our oracle cards. And those of us working on the preparations will open up the decks and intermingle the decks. And we make sure that we have enough cards plus some to accommodate all the people who will be taking part in the main ritual. So we select a deck. We get multiple copies of that deck. We open the cards up, take them out of the package, and then shuffle them thoroughly as we focus on these cards being means for bringing about guidance for our community individuals. After we've done quite a bit of shuffling, we divide the cards equally amongst the cauldrons that we will have in circulation during the ceremony. And then we set all of those cauldrons and the cards in a particular location so that those who will be the cauldron bearers will all be able to easily find them and to work with the cauldrons and distribute the cards to those who are taking part in the ritual when the particular time comes. There are different approaches to preparing a group of people for this New Year card divination experience. A simple chant that I have led and have worked with on a personal level as well as a group level is repeatedly chanting, divination for the new year come, divination for the new year come, divination for the new year come. The power of having a chant with an affirmation such as this is that it helps focus the mind of the person or people doing the divination, keeping other thoughts that could be distractions away from the focal point of consciousness. It also helps move one into a deep wisdom state and letting the intuitive and spiritual guiding forces within oneself be part of a process in selecting the card. When you have a whole group of people chanting that in preparation to doing the divination, you not only have each individual giving themselves a suggestion, but because it's a whole group of people chanting, it helps activate a force field which can enhance the divination work for everyone. It's important to have sufficient illumination for gazing at the card selected. We've done this in different ways over the years. We have increased the lighting during the divination part so that there not only could be clear vision, the ability to really see what card one has gotten and what the message of that card is. But in some cases, we also have had some of the accompanying books that go with particular decks that we've used, and we'll have multiple copies of books giving information about meanings of cards and artistic symbolism that are connected with the cards. My own personal preference is to have those doing a card divination that I'm facilitating to really make direct contact with the divine within themselves as part of this divinatory process, as well as to make specific connections with the card that one has drawn as the card giving guidance for the new year, and to intuitively listen and experience to reflect on any written words on the oracle card. And certainly some oracle cards do have a summation of its message actually printed on the card. Wanting those who are working with the cards to have time to be able to reflect on the meaning of whatever images are there, reflect on the relevance and the connection of any words that are there, and to have sufficient space and illumination to be able to get support in sorting that out and having the wisdom come. So we do the prep work, we select the deck, we shuffle the cards in a sacred way, we divide them up into cauldrons, we set them in the temple in a place where when the time comes they can be distributed. We do some type of chanting to help people prepare for the divinatory part of the ritual. And then as the group is chanting, then the group gets up typically and moves. Sometimes they're moving at a processional to another part of the ritual area. Often it's leaving the temple, an indoor space, and moving towards our outdoor space where we have a big bonfire, which gives us plenty of illumination to be able to contemplate our cards after we get them. And then having people start moving and finding a cauldron bearer, putting one's hand in the cauldron, and not necessarily taking the first card on top, but delving in and picking a card that senses, that one senses is correct. Pulling the card, looking at the card, giving thanks, and then moving to a place where one can study the card, reflect on it, and really let messages come. A method that I teach is to actually see the card as a kind of portal and to let it be imaged as a 3D form, to actually go into the card, to experience the card from inside. If there's a particular character or scenario on the card, to actually project into that and have a sense imaginatively of what it's like to connect with that environment and the symbols and the words and the message that comes from it. One thing that can be done with this simple one card method is to do a meditation with the card after it's been drawn, and then to write down impressions from the meditation, and then move into free form writing, which is a kind of divinatory writing, automatic writing, and let the card and the analysis of possible meanings of the card, reflections on the card, be a step in allowing a different kind of divination to happen, or to move from card to a scrying mirror or a crystal ball or a scrying flame of some kind. Another method for divination is what I call the three-card method. And while ultimately the method culminates with the future, it also gives one a chance to reflect on past and present. In this case, one draws a card from a deck for the past, one for the present, and one for the future. And when I do this method, I work left to right, the past card to the left, the present in the center, the future to the right. In terms of doing card selection, the deck can be shuffled and then the top three cards all picked. But what I prefer to do is to shuffle the deck three times. The first time, keep shuffling until I sense that the card with a message about the past and learnings from the past is on top. And then I select that card, turn it over, and reflect on the past and how learnings from the past, a message from the past, can help me as I move into the future. In like fashion, I'll shuffle the deck, but this time, instead of focusing on the past, I'll keep shuffling until I get a sense that the card with a message about the present is on top. And then I will stop shuffling. And if I get a sense, indeed, that top card is the card with the message for the present, then I select that card and turn it over and again do a reflection. What about the present? What message from this card about the present can inform me and aid me as I prepare to move into the future? Then shuffling the deck a third time with the other two cards still face up before you, continuing to shuffle until you get a sense that the card with a message about the future is there. Stopping shuffling, then taking that top card off and turning it over and letting that card speak a message about the future. And then, when one is done with that, taking a look at the three cards that have been selected and looking at connections between them, looking at them as a pattern, getting a message from the three cards together, and letting that inform oneself moving into the future. It's a very good idea when one is doing divination at Samhain, or at any time of year for that matter, to have some type of divination journal. I prefer a small, spiral-bound, lined paper notebook, usually about 7 or 8 inches tall, 6 inches wide, a half inch or more thick. It's small enough book to make it more easily portable, but big enough that I can put in multiple readings and divinations that I do for myself, that I do for others. So as one does divination, to be in the moment, but to also make record of the divination. Sometimes the divination will manifest in multiple ways with different divination forms. And by making a record of how you pose the question or the focus for the divination, what methods you used, what cards or other systems you worked with, you start enhancing your ability to grow in wisdom from divination prophecies. Another divination that I have done at Samhain time, and often this happens after Samhain as one is beginning the new spiritual year, I do what I call the wheel. Now, it can be done with a Sabbat wheel with 8 cards drawn, but I prefer to use the 13-card method. I work with a deck, but it could be done with a rune casting instead, and casting the runes for each of the 12 months of the year ahead. The way that I do that is to begin at the top of the wheel and having that wheel be like a clock so that the numbers go from 1 to 12. And I start with, if this is before Samhain has come and it's projecting into the future that way, the 12th will be October, and in the position of like 1 o'clock would be November. But you can adapt this method in a way that really works with how you account for time and what makes the most sense for you. So you pick a card for each of the 12 numbers correlating to upcoming months of the year. And after doing 12 cards, picking a 13th, which is an overall guidance card for the year ahead. Different card layouts can be used to find out information in different ways. The 13-card wheel method can be done at any time of year, but it's very powerful at Samhain if you're from a system such as Circle Craft that acknowledges the beginning of the spiritual year is at Samhain. And as you pick a card after shuffling them down and selecting a card, then you contemplate that card for a few moments. See what messages come to you. Make a note of them. Give thanks. And then move on to the next month, the next card, the next part of the clock face of the year ahead. That method can help with heads up about things to be aware of in the year ahead. Not only positive things, but challenges that may have the potential of flaring up. By doing some preparations ahead of time and doing the divination as Samhain comes on, it can help frame positive thinking, bring about more hope, energy and stamina for the time to come. I'd like to also share a method working with the five elements of nature, and this comes out of the Circlecraft tradition, and I developed this many years ago. Here it's again working with cards, and one picks a card for earth, for air, for fire, for water, and for spirit. And as each card is pulled, to do a meditation on that. So the pinnacle divination method, the five card divination method, can be correlated for earth, the physical realm, one's physical health, one's home, one's financial state of affairs, skills connected with the physical plane. Card drawn would be a message of earth. Air card drawn, a message about communication, about studies, power of the mind to explore the unknown, what is yet to come. With fire, looking at one's stamina, one's creativity, one's will. And with water, one's emotions, one's social relationship, one's feelings. And the fifth element, spirit. Insights on spiritual life and practice, connections with divinities and divinity. With this method, it is a good idea to write down details. What card did you draw for each of the elemental positions in the spread? What messages come to you, whether they are traditionally associated with the card or not? What are learnings from your experience? So I've shared with you several types of card methods of divination at Samhain. I'd like to conclude by shifting methods into scrying. And one of the most common ways of doing Samhain scrying work is actually scrying into a flame. After all, this is Celtic Fire Festival. There are not only plenty of candles being kindled at this time of year, but bonfires and hearth fires. With this method, it's bringing together the fuel for the fire, kindling the fire in a sacred way, with chants, with intention, that this is a fire of Samhain. And when one wishes to have that fire be a divinatory fire, to do some prayers, some affirmations prior to the divinatory work happening. What I like to do when I do divination fire work is to either get a very specific question for guidance or to use a general approach for guidance. Then I take some type of dried herb. Sometimes they're oaken twigs or even acorns. I hold in my mind a request for guidance for this new year. And then I begin a chant. And typically I also have with me some herbs connected with visionary work, legal herbs such as mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris. So while chanting, holding some dried herbs in my hands, and then as I sense I'm ready to begin the divinatory work, coming up to the fire and casting dried herbs into the fire, followed by looking into the flames, looking around the flames, paying attention to what messages come to you as you do that sacred work. Some will do fire scrying on a reflected surface, taking a candle and setting it above a black mirror or near a black mirror. Kindling candles above a reflecting pool, having that reflection enhance the beauty of the place. Scrying works best if you preface it with the focal point for your divination. Give me guidance, a vision of something that I can do to enhance my physical health, would be an example. And holding that over and over in one's mind, being before the fire, if it's a small fire or a bonfire, much bigger, getting close enough to it that you can cast in mugwort twigs or dried mugwort leaves, some type of offertory gift to the divine. And then once that offertory herb has been put into the fire, then looking into the fire to see what images come to mind. You may see this as 3D holographic images or the act of contemplating a sacred institution. You may find yourself just drawn to some wisdom that comes from that process. Of course, whether you intentionally do scrying or card work or pull a rune, have someone do a reading for you, it's really a good idea to pay attention to dreams and visions that come to you at Samhain time and to note them down. Sometimes we get guidance for the future and we are not immediately able to grasp all the levels of meaning or wisdom that comes from dreams we have, from images that we see in some scrying device, messages that come to us from a card or cards that we have selected. So also being aware that divination can rise up spontaneously. And some information can often come forth in a vivid dream or in a flash of insight during the day. Phrasing the question, the focus of your divination is really important. I think it's a great idea after you have selected your focal point is to physically write it down as well as repeat it over and over in your mind as you are preparing to do the divination work. Sometimes what we ask for in divination is not directly answered, but something that may be a more relevant question is answered. It's a good idea in doing any divination work to spend several minutes being centered after one has pulled together the materials that one needs for a solid divination experience for self and or for others. And once one has gotten into a very centered space, is then to proceed with the divination. And at the conclusion of a divination, giving thanks for what you've received, whether you fully understand it or not. That goes full circle, expresses connection and completion. So as one goes into solemn time and contemplates the future, know that divination tools and approaches can enhance the solemn experience. And by making a record of what you've asked, how you've asked it, when you've asked it, and what messages you've received, you help yourself grow spiritually and deepen your understanding of wisdom that's within you and spiritual traditions you connect with. Divination can aid us in our own lives. Divination can aid us in our lives with others. Divination can inspire us to work for a better world and beyond. Divination can teach us as well as transform us. A wonderful addition to Samhain time. When one is done with Samhain, one can take a look over the divinatory experiences one has had at the Samhain season. The very act of doing that brings the divination to the forefront of the mind. And if you spend an hour or more reading over results of divinatory work you've done at Samhain time, this can aid divination in a different way. You can deepen your understanding of what's come to you by contemplating it in multiple ways. Whatever method you choose, whatever night of Samhain or time that you choose, know that in engaging in divination for the future practices, you're keeping alive some old pagan ways, and that you are evolving a process in keeping alive the tradition of being able to prepare for the future, knowing that getting messages for the future, that there's always alternative realities. And should something come to you that seems challenging, instead of fearing it, take it into account. And in so doing, you start shaping and changing the reality. And prepare for might be able to happen instead. The purpose of doing divination is to get guidance, and the purpose of guidance is to take that into account as one considers choices and takes steps forward into the future. Thank you all for connecting tonight. I wish you a wonderful Samhain and good divinations. Blessed be.